So if you want to go get a coffee, that would be a good time. If you're here visiting, I welcome you. Welcome to Oceans Church. And we're very relaxed. And, you know, I move around a lot, so you see me move around. And, you know, don't be alarmed. I move around a little bit. It seems like I got a little bit more real estate in front of me this time, which is good. I appreciate that. I don't feel like I'm going to run into stuff. So it might get a little wild since I get a little bit more space. So I might move some stuff around so I can actually, you know, be a little bit mobile. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to talk about Christ's birth, which is announced to Mary. And we're going to look at it maybe from a different perspective. Don and I were in Anchorage last week for a pastor's conference and different things that we do on an annual basis. We were there having dinner on Thursday evening. And we're in the nice hotel. I'm sitting there enjoying a prime rib dinner with all the fixing, halibut. There was so much food. I was sitting there enjoying my dinner. And then God interrupted me. No one likes to be interrupted when they're doing something, right? Or when you're saying something, you're middle of saying something, and then you get interrupted. Most of us don't like that. But when God interrupts us, it's always for a reason, okay? That was my interruption of my nice dinner. And I remember when God interrupted me, I knew he was trying to get my attention. So usually I quickly grab my phone and I start writing things down, whatever it might be, okay? And the word was kind of strange that I got from God was kind of like weird because it did not make sense what God was saying. It's about Thursday evening, about 8:30 at night. And the word was this: fear not, Jesus is here. Now that would be odd. We're just wrapping up this pastor's conference and we're sitting there and enjoying each other's company. There was nothing to be fearful about. But yet again, the word came and said, fear not, Jesus is here. So I jot that down, just like as it is right there. And I remember just thinking about this. I remember saying to myself as I wrote this down, I said, fear not is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. One fear not for each day of the year, right? So I wrote that down. And then I went on to think about the Christmas story that I'm about to go through right now. And then I said this. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That was the word that I got, and I wrote it down, not knowing what that really meant, especially for that situation that I was in. It was a pleasant evening. There was nothing going on until the next morning. And you all know what happened the next morning. I was sitting there having coffee. And I remember texting Jake and Rachel. And I'm texting them about some stuff that we need for, that he would need for his guitar. And I was like, yep, I'm getting ready to pick that up. Is that what you need? And he responded back to me. Shortly after I got the response from Jake, the earthquake hit. And I remember feeling so shaken because we were in that room and I could see the walls waving. And they were waving. And guess what? The very first word that came out of my mouth. Fear not, Jesus is here. See, sometimes God will drop in something in our spirit, would interrupt something that is going on that is normal to us for a reason. So at that time of that dinner that I'm sitting there, I had no idea what it was about. Fear not, Jesus is here. And I wrote that down. But that was the very first word that my spirit brought out at that moment. Fear not, Jesus is here. So I walk into the bedroom where Sariah and Elijah was sleeping. They were sleeping on a bunk bed. And Elijah was like, Daddy, you're shaking my bed. And guess what I said? Fear not, Jesus is here. Almost immediately, there was a spirit of calm that came in. So I walk into another room where Isaiah and Jeremiah were sleeping. Also on a bunk bed was another room over there. So I walk in that room, and they were scared. They were shaking a little bit. And guess what word I used? Fear not, Jesus is here. So we gathered all the kids, and everybody came here in the middle of that room, and we started praying. We started calling on the name of Jesus. We started saying, fear not, Jesus is here. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run in and they will be safe. So there was safety. Immediately, while everything was being shaken, things were falling off the walls, there was chaos. But yet again, in the midst of that chaos, there was still peace. The presence of God was there. So, in light of everything and the beginning of Christmas, in just a few weeks, we're going to draw our attention this morning to the Christmas story. And we're going to talk about interruption. So now you're going to say, what does interruption has to do with the Christmas story? Well, actually a whole lot. When you really think about it, it's a whole lot of interruption that happened because of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything stopped. I believe God actually created a specific time, a segment in time where he stopped time just for Jesus. He stopped everything. So God has a special way of interrupting our normal life, one way or another, to bring in something to us. And it's usually something special, like Jesus. God has a way of stopping time and interrupting the course of time, interrupting even chronos, the chronological way of time, the ticking of the clock. God has done it many times before. He held the sun for Joshua. Right? He held the sun for Joshua. He interrupted time. In fact, even now scientists are trying to figure out what happened to that 24 hours. If you read about it, what happened to it? Nobody can actually figure out what happened to that 24-hour period, that 24-hour gap. God has the ability to interrupt time to do something special, especially in our life as well. Especially when we pray, Lord, let not my will but yours be done. The moment we pray that prayer, guess what it is? What's going to happen? That prayer can and will be tested. Let not my will but yours be done, God. God's going to bring an interruption to your course of life to test that. Are you really meaning that? Are you really saying, let not my will but yours be done? Or are you just saying it just because it's a prayer that everybody does? If you're truly meaning that, God will interrupt something. The normalcy of your life can actually stop, and God can bring in something special to bless you, to change the course sometime of your life. So what do we know about God's interruption? What do we know about God's interruption in everything that he does? The very first thing that we'll read about in that story of the Christmas story, actually, God's interruption is oftentimes inconvenient. Inconvenient to us. But perfect time for him, but might be inconvenient to you and I when God brings in an interruption to what we want to do. Okay, so let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. I will be disturbed and confused if an angel appears to me and tells me something, whatever it might be, to interrupt the course of my life. That was a sudden and major interruption in the course of Mary's life. She's engaged. She's about to get married to a young man of good reputation. He was a descendant of King David. I can assume that all the preparation was already lined up. They probably were sitting down and having conversation about the wedding. They were probably planning the wedding. They probably were talking at that time about how many kids they're going to have. Where are they going to go on their honeymoon? They were probably talking about the names of the kids that they're going to have. Dawn and I, we did the same. When we were dating, we talk about the wedding a whole lot. A whole lot. I mean, we walk around Walmart looking at stuff that we would want until people, some of the people, security at Walmart will follow us. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, so we were walking around pricing stuff. So we're like, okay, how much is this going to cost? How much is this going to cost? How are we going to do this? How are we going to put this together? So I'm sure and certain that Mary and Joseph, they were talking about a whole lot of stuff pertaining to their wedding. They were planning their wedding. And then again, Gabriel shows up. Out of the blue, he shows up and interrupts the course of their life. Have you ever been interrupted by God before? Have you ever been interrupted in the course of your life? You were planning to go a certain way, and then all of a sudden, God changes course. Happened to you? When you were planning on leaving, on doing something else, and then all of a sudden an interruption happens. God changes your course of whatever you're planning on doing, and then all of a sudden does it change course. You're not doing this, but you're doing this one. And it doesn't make any sense at the time. So it did not make any sense at the time to Mary. And she tried to think what the angel could mean. She's like, okay, what do you mean? What do you mean? I have learned to adapt to those interruptions. I have learned over the course of my life to adapt to the interruptions of God and truly embrace them. In the beginning of my walk with God, I struggle with that because I'm a man of a routine. I'm a routine kind of guy. I wake up in a certain time. I do things in a certain way at a certain time. So, for example, this morning, okay, an interruption to my routine was John. John interrupted my routine. You know how? I'm a man of a routine kind of guy. I like to wake up. I like to do things in a certain time. It's clockwork. I know at 8:15 I'll be here pushing. This is my job. I come and I push the button for the coffee to be brewed. But that's my job. That's what I do. But John came in with this idea yesterday while we're setting up. He's like, can I come and do that? And you know my first response was to him? No. But that's going to mess me up. That's going to mess up my plan on what I want to do. He had good intention, but yet again, I was like, I'm not sure about that, John. Just hang on a minute. I'm used to push the button. I'm used to go to Safeway and pick up the donuts and everything else that you see on the table out there. That is my routine. That is what I do. But he brought in an interruption to my routine. I did not welcome that change in the beginning. But then I called him when I got back home. I'm like, hey, let me think about this for a little bit. Then I'm like, okay, there's some logistic kind of way of doing things, and I need to make sure that he understands that. He's a smart man, but yet again, I am not able to break away from my routine, from my way of doing things. Guess what I did? I texted him a list. I can tell you my list, and I titled that list Ocean's Pre-Service Shopping. Start coffee at 8:15 a.m. 2 dozen assorted donuts. I even put the price. 2 boxes of mini croissant, I even put the price. 1 bunch of bananas or other fruits. And then 1 big box of muffins, $6 each. 1 large hazelnut macchiato or macchiato creamer. 1 large orange juice and 1 large medium raspberry lemonade. That is my stuff. No one can come in and tell me that, hey, you know what, I don't want to. Well, he went in and he bought some, what did you buy, some cake? So that was not on the list. That was not on the list. He bought grapes. That was not on the list. But he did. And you know what? Interruptions are okay. We have to lighten up in the way that we are set up sometime. I'm a man of routine, but yet again, I have to let go of certain things if I want God to have a way in. Right? We have to do this. We have to welcome those interruptions so that God can have a way to step in to our life. And here, Mary and Joseph, they are planning their life. And Gabriel shows up, messes everything up. In 1996, there was a major interruption in my life. Sophomore in college, I knew what I was going to do. I had an idea. And I was like, okay, Lord, I need direction. And he came. And he interrupted my life. He interrupted my life, but he gave me a gift. It was a compass for my life. He gave me a compass. He said, every time you need direction, you ask. And this compass will lead you. 1996. 1999, another major interruption. God says, leave the comfort of who you know and go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Major interruption. 2009, another major interruption. Comfortable life, great church, great job, leave, interrupt what you have now, and go to Anchorage, no job, no comfort, but I'm going to be there with you. 2015, leave what you know in Anchorage, already on a path to become a pastor of a good church, a big church, an established church, and go and start something from scratch. I would say this was a major interruption. I was like, excuse me, Lord, I am not ready for this. It was not Angel Gabriel that came. It was Dawn and many other. No, it wasn't Dawn. I'm just joking. There were voices that came in, that confirmed, starting with the Holy Spirit, that came and spoke and gave the confirmation that this interruption was God. So when there is an interruption in your life, you got to make sure that it is from God first. Because the enemy can also bring in interruptions in everything that you want to do. You're going to need to be able to discern those voices. Is this the voice of God or is this the voice of the enemy? But when you're following God, you will recognize his voice. You will become familiar with the promptings, with the leadings, with the voices that you hear in here, right here. You're going to become so familiar with it that immediately you would recognize him. Even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of an earthquake, you will hear his voice saying, fear not, Jesus is here. Sometimes that's all you need. In the midst of this earthquake situation that was going on, that's all I needed. That's all I needed. Jesus is here. And I'm hearing Dawn in the other room. She's praying out loud. She's praying. Her spirit is welling up with words. She's pouring out her spirit. I'm walking around this place and I'm speaking. I'm speaking peace. I'm speaking safety. So when that interruption happened, recognize his voice, number one. Know that this interruption is from God. What we call interruption, you know what God will call that? An invitation. An invitation to come and join him in the place or in that situation where he is. When God interrupted Moses, he was a shepherd. He left Egypt, he went and became a shepherd, and was happy to be a shepherd. He was married, he had kids, everything was fine. But God interrupted the course of this peaceful life after Egypt. God interrupted his life and invited him to a burning bush. Through that burning bush came direction to go back to Egypt because there was a plan. God interrupted the life of Jonah. Interrupted his life and invited him to a whale. God interrupted the life of Saul of Tarsus and invited him to the true light, which is Jesus. God has a way of interrupting lives to do something special. So the question that I have for you today is this. What has God sent into your life? What interruption has God sent to your life that you might not even be aware of? But that invitation still stands. The word is not going to depart. God is not going to change his mind because you are slow to react to that invitation. The invitation will always stand with God. Sometimes you might make a few loop around that situation, but God is waiting. He's waiting for that response from you and from me. Those interruptions are invitations that are standing here waiting on us to respond, to reply to God. So respond to whatever it is that God has laid on your heart. If it is to go to a mission field, you respond to the way that God wants you to go and do. If it is go to start a new career, whatever it might be, you respond to the invitation of God. That is where you find the peace. That is where you find the safety. Because that's where he is. He might not be in the place where you are comfortable. He might be somewhere else where it might not be so comfortable at that moment when you're thinking about it. Not too long ago, there was this guy that wrote an article about Ocean's Church. He came to me and he's like, why did you move from this place to this place? My response was easy. The other place was too comfortable. The moment you get too comfortable, too relaxed about things, you tend to overlook the voice of God. Because it's too okay. I like it when people like John will come and challenge me. Would you let that go and let me handle this? It interrupts my life. But yet again, it's good. It's a good thing. It's a good interruption to my normal life. God has a way of coming in and stirring up the nest. When an eagle is getting ready, when the mother is raising up those chicks, when they're getting ready to leave the nest, you know what the mother eagle would actually do? They would pull. She would go and pull out all the feathers, the down, the everything that makes that chick so comfortable in staying in the nest. She would pull that out from that nest, and she will expose the branches, the twigs, the sharp edges of things, so that she would make the nest so uncomfortable for those chicks that they would not want to stay there much longer. Because their goal, the mom's goal, is to train those chicks to leave the nest. Because if they stay in the nest, what's going to happen? They're going to starve. They're not going to be able to handle themselves. They're not going to be able to defend themselves, to hunt for themselves, to survive in life. The same situation applies to you and I. It doesn't mean that we always have to leave and go, but it does mean that we need to grow. And growing is not comfortable. Growing is not comfortable. Growing is painful. Just like as we're growing as a church, there are the pains of that growth that we're bearing. But there will come a time where God is going to say, you know, I've stirred enough there. It's time to grow. It's time to move. It's time to do it. So you got to wait for that right time, because there is that right time. So God's, number one, God's interruption is oftentimes inconvenient. Very inconvenient. Number two, God's interruption is shielded by His favor. When God interrupts something, you can be sure that God has already shielded this situation. He's already gone before you and me and shielded that situation. The word of God in Psalm 5:12 says this: I have shielded you like a shield with favor. I have surrounded you like a shield with favor. God is surrounding each and every one of us with His favor. His favor is a protected area. That is the favor of God. The favor of God is like a shield all around us, protecting us, making sure that we don't go and do something that we will regret. God is protecting us. He's protecting the vision. He's protecting you and I. He's protecting His children. Same way that the mother eagle will do the same. Protect those chicks. That's what she's going to do, is to shield them, protect them from the elements, protect them from everything, from danger. This is how Mary handled that through that conversation with Gabriel. Gabriel said to Mary, do not be afraid, fear not, fear not. For you have found favor with God. And this is where God starts giving you a little bit more information about what He's about to do. It's never right off the bat God will reveal everything to you that He wants you to do. A lot of things is as you keep on asking the question. What if from the very first time when the angel Gabriel showed up, even though she was confused, she said, you know what, I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with this. She would not have gone to that second stage of asking, how? How could this be? And the angel revealed. See, God is never trying to hold information back from us. God is always trying to reveal, to give to us. He's not holding back. So God spoke to Mary and said, this is what's going to happen. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. Never mind Pinterest and trying to figure out a name. We've already got it. We've already got a name. You shall call the name Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. He has some reassurance that God is in charge. See, sometimes when God is challenging us to go to a different level, we're like, oh, yeah, how's that so? We don't even know. We don't know anybody. How is that going to be? How's it even going to work out? Because when God told us to come here to plant this church, we're like, hey, it's not going to work out. We don't know anybody out there. Well, you don't need to know anybody out there. You don't need to be connected with anybody. God will establish the connection himself. When Jesus started his ministry, guess what? He didn't know anybody either. And he was God. He walked around figuring out, hey, what's your name? Peter? Okay, come follow me. What's your name? Matthew? Okay, come. That is the way God does it. The connection are established when you're on the ground. So don't try to figure everything out before you go out there. When you get out there, God will bring in the connection. So you just show up. So this is, it says, you shall call his name Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. The very first thing God said was, fear not. Don't be afraid, because what I'm about to say to you is going to blow your mind. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So when God told us to come over here, first thing is like, don't be afraid. You're going to freak out when you come over here. And we did. We did. We came here in 2014 the first time. It was called a scouting mission. We scouted. Didn't take very long. We landed at 8 o'clock at night, and I couldn't even see anything. I'm like, there's no street lighting here. I'm trying to figure out where we're going to go. I'm like, okay, GPS doesn't even work here. I'm like, this is signs after signs, Lord. Okay, this is never going to work. And I'm thinking all this stuff. We're like, you know what? We have medical situation with Micah, medical situation with Isaiah. None of that's going to work. What if there's a crisis? How do we get off this rock? You know, you start processing things in your own natural mind, and you talk yourself out of doing things. I was talking myself out of doing things. And guess what? I had evidence to prove. I could go back to God and say, you know what? Get it. Look, we're driving down this loopy road over there. We're trying to figure out how far we can go on that road. Reznov all the way down through the mountains. We're going there. We didn't get very far because people start throwing up. I'm like, okay, here's another signs, Lord. Don is throwing up. Isaiah's throwing up. And they're all saying, dial 911. I'm like, okay, there we go. We're going to go back. And 911 is not even working because there's no... I'm like, okay, Lord, you're giving me more evidence of how much it's not going to work. So we're going to go back home. And guess what I did when I go back to the house that we rented at the time? I called the overseer. It's not going to work. I heard wrong. Angel Gabriel was wrong. Somebody got it messed up because this is the wrong assignment. I'm not coming here. I remember going back home and said, no. But guess what? That same voice kept repeating itself over and over and over again. When you trust the voice of God and you give it enough attention, it's not going to leave you alone. When you trust that voice and you give it enough attention, meaning you read the word, you feed yourself of the word, you are constantly in tune of what he's saying, you will hear him. He will speak, maybe not the same way that you're expecting him to speak. He'll send a donkey to talk to you. I mean, if you're being that kind of hard, guess what? He'll send somebody else to talk to you. But you're going to have to yield to that voice for him to be able to do what he's calling you to do. So, first, it will surround you like a shield with his favor. God doesn't bring interruption to bring in chaos. He brings in an interruption in your life to bring in peace, restoration, something that you need that you might not even know that you need it. That's what he does. He brings in peace, order, restoration. And everything that God interrupts, he surrounds it with his favor, meaning that he provides for it. That interruption is paid for. When he interrupted our life to come over here, guess what? He already made provision for it. I just did not see it. I just could not see what God was trying to do at the time. But he was already there. The resources was already there. The connection, the people was already there. I needed to be here. My family needed to be here to connect with the resources, to connect with the people. But if you try to make those connections before you get on site, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. When I was studying, I like to study because I don't like just... I'm a planner. I like to look at things. I like to look at... I'm so much in a routine. So I'm studying things. I'm planning things out. I'm like, it doesn't make sense. I'm looking at data. I'm looking at numbers. I'm looking at evidence that are in front of me. And nothing is lining up with what I thought was right. But yet again, God was saying, you line yourself up with a vision, resources, connection will come in. So it came. Now I see faces that I never thought I would ever even meet or know. But God did. God saw your face before I saw your face. God knew your name, that you would be called to come here and be planted in this church, at Oceans Church, here in Kodiak, Alaska, before even the name of Oceans Church was even thought of by me and Don. See, God already was ahead of me, and God is ahead of you. He's already gone before you. You know, his name is called Jehovah Jireh. You know what that means? The God who sees ahead and makes provision for what he sees that is ahead of you. So he's already gone ahead. So we don't need to worry so much about how things are going to turn out, where the resources are going to come in. We just need to be in line, in the right place where he's called us to be. Then the resources will come. Then the manpower that we need, the people to go and pick up your donut, will show up. You don't need to figure that out. What if I stood up, like, who's going to go pick up the donuts? Who's going to do this? Who's going to usher? Who's going to welcome people there? Who's going to hold up signs in the front and kind of act like crazy? Who's going to do all of that? You don't need to figure all of these out. God will bring in the people. You just be obedient. So, third thing, God's interruption doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. See, God is always revealing how. You just need to ask the question. Mary did. How's that going to be possible? This doesn't make sense. It's not going to work, Lord. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the baby will be born, will be holy. And he will be called the Son of God. And then here's the kicker. For the word of God will never fail. That's one thing that you can hold on to, is that word that was spoken before you even set foot in the place where God has called you. That word, that vision will never fail. Could you just trust that? Could you just hold on to this word, whatever it might be? Could you just hold on to this and say, Lord, nothing else around this word makes sense, but this one does. It says here, your word will never fail. And then it says, for with God, nothing, absolutely nothing, will be impossible. That is good enough. I mean, I would say this is good enough for me. If nothing with God is impossible, that is good enough. So where is that next building going to come? Where is that next Oceans Church place where we're going to be planted is going to come from? I don't know, but I know this. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible, and that is good enough for me. It might not make sense. It might be so impossible that it is absurd. I mean, it's just plain old stupid. When you think about certain things, like, hey, this is just stupid. That doesn't even make sense. Come on. I mean, you know, I mean, the girl, she's a virgin. This does not even make sense. It's never going to happen. But God reassured her and said, with me, nothing, absolutely nothing will be impossible. So if you're thinking about a breakthrough in your personal life and you think it's impossible, well, I've got news for you, because here, this is what it says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. And if you try to rationalize it in your own mind, like I do, because I'm thinking I'm smart, I can figure things out, I can plan things out, I can look, I can read, I can study, I can research, but not everything that I do makes sense. And this is what God says in His Word. He says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. I mean that answers my question right there. You know, if I was trying to think that I got some understanding, and He is telling me here that my thoughts are not your thoughts. And then He says, my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. If ever I thought that I had it figured out, and if this thing here is not fitting in what the planning is, here's the answer. My ways are far beyond your ways of doing things. You think your little research that you've done is enough to understand what I want to do here? Well, you're kidding yourself. That's what God was saying to me at the time when I was planning to do those things, to leave England, to leave Tulsa, Oklahoma, to leave Anchorage. All these places, all these interruptions did not make sense. And every time when I tried to peg that into a hole that I knew, that I understood, that I've studied, that I've researched, that I have done, remember, everything is I, that I've done, that I understand, that I figured out. The problem was not the vision. The problem was I. The problem was I. The moment I surrender the I, the doors start opening. The understanding of what God wanted to do started to open. Because when God first spoke to us about leaving Tulsa, Oklahoma, it was such a comfortable spot. We were planning on kids going to school. We were figuring out the school. I was working at Oral Roberts University. Everything was just fine, peaceful, calm, organized, like the way that I want things to be. When that interruption came in and said, you're going to go there and you're not going to have a job, you're not going to have any guaranteed income, you're going to resign at your job, you're going to do everything that contradicts what you've learned, what you've studied, what you've researched, because what vision that I've given to you, you will not be able to peg this in this hole. It won't fit. Shook me completely. And same year in 2009, out of all this trying to do the donuts, trying to do things in a certain way, in a certain manner, I'm trying to do everything that you can think of. The enemy came in 2009. I had a heart attack. I was dead for, I mean, it was seconds, but it felt like I was dead for a long time. You know what I mean? It's like one of these things that it happened just in a fraction of a second, but then it felt like you were gone for a long time. And I remember I fell in the bathroom. I hit the wall, so I hit my face there on the wall, and Don is telling me this story afterwards because I had no idea what happened. And my face is all twitching, and I'm hot, I'm sweaty. I mean, basically, the normal signs of getting a heart attack. So falling down, and I hear these words while I was dying. You will live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. I mean, right in my face. You know how Dawn is. She can be loud. She's right there in my face. You will live and not die to declare the works. And she's speaking the word over and over. Basically, she was saying, fear not, Jesus is here. She's speaking those words over, and I remember, I was like, whoa, Dawn, stop. And I remember seeing this, stop. What are you doing? It's like, you just passed out. I'm like, no. But then I remember when I was out, I remember me flying. Like I was flying forward, like I was going like towards the light, right? You know how that is, you go towards the light. I was going towards the light. So, you know, I knew I was going in the right place. So I was going towards the light. And then as she was speaking those words, you will live and not die, I was leaving the light. And I said, that's not right. But I was coming back. I was flying backwards. And I remember when I came to, she was telling me all this stuff. And I'm sweating and I'm doing all this kind of crazy stuff. And they actually said there was an electrical failure in my head. So I have no idea what that really means in medical terms. But something happened. Some short fuse. Something got loose. So I don't know if there's anything loose right now. But, you know, he got fixed. Jesus took care of it. So what I'm saying is, God's ways are higher than our ways. God has other ways of getting our attention to let go, to remove the I of that equation, so that He is able to intervene and do what He wants to do. Here's how Mary responded. And we should ask ourselves the same question. Can we respond as Mary responded? Out of all this mess that did not make sense to her, I can assure you that, you know, even after Gabriel came and gave her the spiel on, okay, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to have a baby, it still did not make any sense. But this is what she said, which is the kicker of all. It says, I am the Lord's servant. She immediately recognized that she is the Lord's servant. A servant will do everything that the master says. I am the Lord's servant. And then she said, may everything you have said about me come true. Right there, Mary removed herself from the equation. And guess what the angel did at that time? The angel left her. See, the peace came after she said yes. I am the Lord's servant. I'll do anything that you want me to do, Master. May everything that you said about me come true. Then, after she surrendered, the angel left her. So, question for you this morning is this. What is the Holy Spirit telling you now? Now. I know there are interruptions in your life. You would not be breathing if there was never an interruption to your life. You would not even be here if there was never an interruption to your life. Well, I got a word for you that I want to release that now. Don't worry about the outcome. Don't worry about the outcome. Don't worry about the outcome of what's going to come out at the end of that equation. That is not your job. The outcome is God's job. That's His job. All you need to focus on is one thing only, and that's obedience. When you walk in obedience, you will enjoy the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19 says, when you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Outcome is not your job. Obedience is. Would you just focus on obeying? That just one word. You might not have everything figured out. But you might have got one word from God, and that is good enough. Would you please stand? Jesus did the same thing when He was nailed on the cross. He knew what the outcome was, but He chose to obey. He walked in obedience. We're going to get ready now to actually receive the communion. If I can have the ushers get ready. And as they get ready, I want, does this song, when he walks into the room, and I want you to focus your attention on those words, because those words are powerful. When God walks in the room, he interrupts everything. Darkness in your life becomes light. Things that don't make sense now, all of a sudden, the light bulb goes on. Obscurity in your decision, all of a sudden there's clarity in your thoughts.
Everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Let's sing that again, louder.
We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord God. Lord God, all of this is for you. Lord God, as we take in communion this morning, Lord God, we are declaring that we are nothing without you. Lord, we thank you for the price that you've paid for us. You've given us access to you, to your holy throne where we can come in without guilt, without shame, to be at your feet. That we have your undivided attention when we call on your name. The name that you've given to all of us. The name that is above all other names. That whenever we call on your name, there is an interruption in everything that is going on because you are here. Lord, we decide right now to interrupt, to stop everything that we do just to hear from you. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you take the bread? Jesus said, "This is my body that was broken for you." Would you take and eat? And in the same manner, he held the cup and showed it to his disciples. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood that was shed for you. Take and drink." Jesus said, "Do this oftentimes in remembrance of me." I'll tell you something. Taking communion is not something that you only do in the church. Taking communion is something that you can do at home. Taking communion is something that you can let your whole entire family participate in, and you explain to your child, to your kids, to your whole family what the meaning is. Same thing. It's open for all believers. It's not only something that is administered by a pastor, by priests. It's open to every believer. Every believer can partake, can receive the bread of life, which is Jesus. Can drink the blood, which is symbolic of this covenant relationship that we have with Jesus. It is not a relationship